Hello and welcome back to the How of Timber and Building Supplies 1840 podcast. My name's Gavin and I'm the host for this episode. With this series that I'm doing, it is slightly different, and we carry on the idea of behavioural sciences. And in particular with this one, we're looking at something called discovery insights, which pulls people down to the behaviours on kind of a four-level thing of colours. I have the absolute pleasure of introducing Angie from Cortex Training, who's an expert in insights and how we can use them to build relationships and just grow rapport with customers. Angie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
Do you want to start off with just talking a little bit about yourself and your background?
I suppose thinking about the world of work, then, I'm not even going to go back to right at the beginning because that was YTS and that just shows my age. So I've always been in kind of retail or in the merchanting business, always start with people. There were some other things in between, but yeah, kind of went into retail at an early age and got made a manager and then came out of corporate and kind of started my own business.
And you have worked with quite a number of merchants.
I have, yes. In my day, quite a few. So yeah, a different type of business and industry. I'm not going to say a different type of people because I think they're just people, but I think they kind of come with their own challenges and their own successes and things that they do that we kind of see and differently to other areas of the world.
What are their challenges that would slightly different for merchanting?
I think we're kind of going to come on and think about relationship building. I think the building of the relationships is really important within merchanting. It's not like you're kind of visiting one of the big sheds and popping into B&Q, maybe just to get your wallpaper for that one room and then you're done. I think within merchanting, you really, really have to build that relationship because you want them to come back and not just do that. So I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that that I see within merchanting business.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's that whole relationship is something that just sets us apart from other industries. Going back to yourself, how long have you been in training?
Oh, a long time, 30 odd years, if not more. So in kind of one form or another. So even when I was a manager, you know, you'd be training with your team to make sure. Properly into training, probably about 25 years, where that's all I do.
How did you get into it? Was it just natural from being a manager?
Yeah, I think so. I've had some really awful managers, and I think I really wanted to make sure that people being on the other side of somebody who was a leader manager didn't have some of the same experiences I did. So kind of getting into that to kind of go, be a bit gentle when you talk to people like that. So yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, just a natural progression from some of the things that I did.
They do say that a lot, isn't it? Like, if you have a good manager or a bad manager, it's all good life experience. It's supposed to work out all the stuff that made them bad, all the stuff that made them good, and that, and then build your own. And someone will do that to you down the line.
Definitely, yeah. And also with businesses, you know, they say people will join an organisation, but they'll leave their manager. So we have to make sure that our managers, leaders, know exactly what they're doing and how they build relationships with the team as well as with their customers.
Have you done, I'm trying to pry out of you one particular job.
I know what you...
You've not only just worked in this kind of...
No, I haven't. I was an unofficial, because I was actually underage when I did it. I was probably the first female bouncer in the nightclubs in Birmingham City Centre. So I worked at the V&A, which was a wine bar above the Midland Hotel, had all the tuxedo outfit, had to wear high heels, which was really... wasn't really the thing that you wanted when you were doing kind of security on a door. I had two very big burly bouncers that worked with me. But if there was any trouble, I would always get sent in. I would always be the one that diffused it, because we kind of went in and you tend to find that if it was lads that had probably a bit too much to drink, they'd square up to the bouncers to see if they could, you know, maybe lay one on
them. Stuff
around. Yeah, all of those things. But if I went in and was like, lads, what's going on? Oh, sorry, love. I mean, it was a very different day, so it might not be like that now. So yeah, really kind of going in and assessing the situation as a very smaller female compared to these two that just used to stand out. So I would say they didn't do anything. But yeah, so worked around the nightclubs in Birmingham, which was great as a 17, 18-year-old, because I got all my drinks for free, even though we weren't meant to drink and all of those kind of things. But yeah, still working with people.
So it's kind of that caring theme that's gone throughout your career, really, hasn't it? From the manager, from assessing situations and diffusing, and then right through to facilitating training.
Yeah, I like people and I like to see what makes people tick. I think that's kind of, that's my passion, So,
I like it. All about Cortex training. What do you guys do now? You can pick and choose wherever you want. You don't have to work in merchanting. What's a good day for that?
Gosh, we do lots of things. So it's really, I think, about the self-awareness aspect. So, you know, whether we're doing leadership programs, it's how do I manage myself first? Because I can't manage others if I don't do that. So we do one-to-one, so coaching, looking at some of the insights that we're going to have a think about. We do programs, we work with colleges, charities, large organisations, small organisations. So it can be a different day every day. But it's working with people,
Lovely.
Getting the most out of them. I think it's just that aha moment that I like to see people go, that's why that's not been working.
Well, that takes us nicely on to insights. So James has got a slide that he's going to put on the screen. What is Discovery Insights?
So Insights is, it's a model looking at kind of personality traits and preferences. It comes from the Jungian theory and most of the kind of the psychometrics that you see, Myers-Briggs, MBTI, Bolton and Bolton Social Club, DISC, all of those kind of things are built on the same kind of preface. What Insights, which is the organisation that runs it, I'm a partner in them. So what they did was Insights Discovery tries to make it really simple by looking at four of those kind of colour preferences. So in each one of those, we have different traits and we have all of them. Some of them we don't use quite as much and some of them we use an awful lot of. So it's just kind of working out where you sit, where you are, and being able to understand where other people are coming from as well. So, you know, you can see as we run around. So cool blue, which is my least preferred colour preference, is all about being analytical, being detailed, needing all of the details, asking lots of questions, kind of having that step-by-step, real analytical approach. And then we've got our fiery red. That's just about action. We want to get things done. We want to be in control of situations. We'll challenge things if we're not sure about them. Love to take a risk. Sunshine yellow is kind of the quite social. Love to be around other people. Don't like to be on their own. Have tons and tons of creative ideas. Really enthusiastic. Just a real people. Sometimes it might focus a little bit too much on themselves than others, but they love to be involved and they love other people to be involved in the things that they're doing if it's really fun. And then earth green, which is your people in kind of a different way. So more the caring, nurturing, they kind of take a step back, more diplomatic, democratic, but very much kind of values driven.
Yeah. We always talk about kind of the positives of some of these things, yep. But what would a bad day for those calls be? What's the weakness side of it?
Yeah. So if we think about within the Insights Discovery, we look at when we are consciously aware of what we're doing, how we act, so how we turn up for work. So hopefully it's going to be effective. But in the moments where we put under pressure or put under stress, or we've got one of those days or somebody's just upset us, we can flip to these ineffective behaviours. So cool blue can kind of do that almost paralysis by analysis. They get very blinkered. They go down the rabbit hole and it's really hard to kind of drag them back out again.
It's hard to get them to finish, I imagine.
They just want to keep going on that one thing. And they can kind of step back a little bit and be a bit standoffish as well. Fiery reds are kind of the other way. They're kind of off on their own. They're just kind of like, yeah, we need to get it done. Don't really consider everybody else around them. Some people might be saying, you know, oh, I'm feeling tired or I don't understand. And there's kind of not a lot of empathy for that goes on. It's like, we need to get this finished. And then before they realise, they're kind of, you know, down the road and they've turned around and nobody's behind them because
everyone's drowning somewhere. Yeah.
Sunshine yellow can get a little bit enthusiastic. There can be too many ideas. They get very distracted by the next bright and shiny thing. So it's like, oh, that's interesting. So they're not very good completer finishers, but they are very good at persuading other people to do that for them. And earth green, they can become a little bit, I suppose people can walk all over them a little bit because they don't like conflict. So even though they know people might be trying to take advantage of them, they won't speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
They'll speak up for other people. So they allow people to kind of maybe manipulate them or influence them a little bit too much. But they can become very stubborn if you go against kind of their fairness value or whatever value it is that they hold.
So if you're working with a customer or a colleague in branch and you're seeing some of these bad, you know, these negative behaviours where they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
What can you do to kind of de-stress them or just be more aware of it to kind of coach them through it?
I think it's having those conversations, isn't it? And just be careful of the language that you're using. We know that if we go to somebody who looks as if they're not having a very good time, and you say, you just need to calm down, it's probably the last thing that they're going to do. And you tend to see other people noticing when those bad day behaviours are happening rather than the person themselves, unless they're really self-aware. So I think it's just that being kind to each other and just saying, you know, is there anything that I can do to help? Not necessarily shining a light on, gosh, you've been like this. But, you know, how's your day going? And is there anything that I can do rather than kind of making them feel uncomfortable and then start thinking, oh God, what have I been acting like? And depending on what colour energy it is, because you kind of squared up to somebody who was fiery red and went, I've seen you acting like this, it would probably ramp up that bad day behaviour. So just by saying, how's your day going and what can I do? Then that's probably the better way to deal with it.
Interesting. That's a really good one. So if you, you've got all these people in your head that will probably have blue, red, green and yellow. How does those kind of people deal with their opposite colours? So if you were a salesperson and sales is typically red and blue in a lot of cases, red and yellow, how would they deal with maybe a builder that is the opposite colours?
And I think this is where kind of the whole kind of the profiling and things comes into its own. So once you've understood the colours, you can kind of really start seeing where some of that happens. Like, oh, okay, so somebody's behaving like that isn't my natural colour, so I need to adapt my behaviour in the moment to think how I can connect better with them. We like people who are like us. And, you know, especially within sales, we buy people. It's always been the same. So you'll always know when you feel like you've connected to somebody, like, I just like them for some reason. The more we act in a similar way to that person, because our brains go, well, that's easy. I don't need to work out how they make decisions because it's different to mine. So it's just understanding. So if you've got somebody who is, I'll say that you are maybe very sunshine yellow, and I've actually seen this in play in a merchant in brunch, somebody that's very sunshine yellow, so loves to chat, normally about themselves. And then you've got somebody who's very cool blue. So I had somebody who worked in kitchen showroom, and they were talking about a couple that had been in numerous times. So you could tell that they were probably both using a lot of the cool blue energy.
Yeah.
They'd been in, they'd got a spreadsheet, they'd had a look at everything, you know, how does this work? Wanted to know all the answers to everything. This person had really driven to build that relationship, but had probably talked more about themselves than the couple that were looking for the bits and pieces. But what had happened was, because they were asking so many questions and they wanted so much information, I think they'd given them a cupboard door because they wanted to go somewhere else for the worktop. So they'd given them a cupboard door and they'd gone off to do some more research and ask lots of questions. And I was actually there, and the couple came in and they gave the door back and said, thank you very much, really useful. And this person went, so who did you go with then for your worktops? And they said a name and they just went. And the look on this couple's face is, because they'd spent so much time working out. And this person then must have spent half an hour trying to put right what they'd just done. And I thought, if you'd have really understood what their preferences were, then you wouldn't have done the sunshine yellow of going, oh, I wouldn't have gone there, rather than, that's really interesting, you know, just kind of going, well, that's good. So you've made a decision. We can now move forward with ordering your kitchen. They'd had to spend a long time because these people were now, I think, were probably going to go back to the drawing board, because you could just see from the look on their face, now we've done the wrong thing. So
it's interesting, because I suppose it's a lot to do with emotional intelligence and that impulseness of controlling your own behaviour and being more aware of it.
Yeah, and sunshine yellow, to be fair, when on kind of that more ineffective behaviour, their impulse control is kind of quite low. So they think they speak without thinking first.
It's all gut.
It's all, it's just. And because they're on a different preference, apart from the colours, we have other preferences. So because they're on kind of this, the preference that when they kind of make decisions and things like that, they'll do it emotively. So they won't think everything through. It will just be the first thing. But also they're on what we call the extroversion preference. So they speak to think. There's nothing kind of being reflective. Obviously, there's nothing going on in there, but there is. But they don't reflect on it the first time they've heard what they're considering or thinking, is when it actually comes out of their mouth. And sometimes it's like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Whereas the people they were dealing with were very reflective and had thought things through internally before they went and did something. So I think understanding your opposites, they can work brilliantly together. And we normally find that opposites outside of work attract. So, you know, if you're thinking about your partners, you go, oh, they're so different from me. But in the work, if you don't understand why somebody's doing that or what their preference is, it can lead to some real frustration and then a breakdown in kind of those relationships. So if you know that you've got maybe a manager or somebody that you work with that has a real high preference for fiery red, getting things done, they're probably going to be really blunt and straightforward and to the point. The opposite of that is earth green. Show me you care. I want you to ask, you know, I want you to ask how I am and I want you to know what I've been doing. So if somebody just comes up and says, I'll go and do that, then earth green might take offence to it. Or what have I done wrong? Or they're not talking to me properly. They've told me to do it. They haven't asked me. So understanding where that works, I think, is really, really important with the opposites. So it's just knowing we don't all think and feel in the same way.
So insights isn't at all about being inauthentic. It's all about being yourself, being genuine, being authentic, but being more aware of your opposite colours and what they're going to react with you. It is just emotional intelligence.
It is. I mean, emotional intelligence definitely comes into it. I think, and once you understand the colour preferences, it's not, because I've had conversations with people that go, oh, so you want me to change who I am to kind of deal with that person. So, no, you're still the same person. You've still got the same values. You see, it's just about how we adapt and connect in the moment to somebody who's not acting or reacting in the same way as us. We do it naturally. So if you were going out, you know, like we said, if you're going out for a night out with your mates, you'll act very differently to if you were going to have a cup of tea with your nana. We do it instinctively anyway.
Yeah.
In work, sometimes when we're so busy and it's so kind of everything's moving so quickly, if we just stopped and took the time to say, right, okay, so, you know, this person's coming in and being very blunt. So maybe it is because they're fiery red and they don't want all the, how have you been doing today? What jobs have you got on? And I know there's some questions we have to ask if we're kind of doing add-on sales, but just that we'll get everything for you as quickly as we can, get it on the van and you can be away. Then that's great. If you suddenly meet somebody who's kind of earth green and they're going, oh gosh, wasn't your son having that football match? They might have told you about it, but it might not be the moment to start bringing it up. So just kind of being able to read somebody to go, not today, or just get that on the van and get them away.
A natural flow into it. How would you sell to each of the four colours? What would be the techniques and tactics you'd use?
So I think it's just understanding how they take information on. So just like we said, somebody with cool blue energy, if it's a new product they've not been using before, they might want to ask lots of questions. They might not necessarily buy straight away. They might come in, they might ask multiple people in the same branch the same question. And it's not because they don't trust that person. It's just they really want a rounded view. They might want the literature on it. So, you know, have you got any material on this that I can take away and then come back? Just ask a lot of questions. And if you understand that, then that's, you know, that's something that you can always preamble. Oh, I've got a set of brochures for you. If you want to read them, come away. So it's not kind of a real hard selling.
Yeah. Interesting. On a previous podcast, we talked about behavioural biases and that kind of social selling of case studies and, you know, reviews and stuff. That probably lends itself quite a lot to the blues.
They will have done all of that before they've even walked into the branch. Yeah, they will have looked, you know, where the parking is, how easy it is to get there, what your delivery times are. They'll have looked at all of that already. They would have already have come in. So I think really being aware of that. And again, kind of having to think, I mean, if you think about kitchens, if you're kind of going to think about, you know, and if you were looking at how people buy, and we actually do like whole training sessions on how do you sell to the colours and how do we influence that. So again, that's, you know, we've thought about our cool brochures, take them all away with the brochures. We can say, you know, there's soft closed drawers and there's this and they last so long and all of that information. Having a think sunshine yellow might be very, very different with their attitude to that. They probably don't want all the detail. They want it to look nice and shiny. They want it to look really fun. It might be more around what the kitchen means to them emotionally. So this is where I'm going to have my party. So, you know, can you fit me a wine fridge there? Because there's going to be lots of people coming in with our earth green. It might be, well, this is the heart of the house. So I want to make sure actually that there's, you know, there's rounded edges so the kids don't bang their heads while they're running around. Or we want a tower, in a tower system where we've got the oven in that. So, you know, Nan doesn't have to bend down and get the roast out of the oven on the Sunday. So if you know and understand what it is, with your fiery reds, it's probably all the gadgets. Yeah, can have a built-in, something that quick, you know, my coffee machine goes in there and it's just really quick and it's minimalistic. And so understand doesn't mean that everybody thinks that because it's the joint of the colours. But I think if you understand, it gives you that kind of forward leap into being able to deal with them a little bit easier when and get that head start with them when you're building the relationship.
So, ooh, definitely.
Yeah. And I think you kind of look, and I'm going to throw some questions back at you.
Please.
So when we start to have a think about how we get people to come in and buy, your website's kind of set up like that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we don't use the classical segmentation where people would, probably in the industry, they probably have like Barry the Builder and Johnny the Joiner sort of thing. Whereas we don't look at that because we always think that builders need the same kind of thing. Joiners always need the same kind of thing. But ultimately, it's how we treat them is different, how we react with them. You know, for the blues, we have the detail there, but we have it so it's, you know, you can open it and you can close it. We've got lots of assets for the yellows so they can quickly kind of see the aesthetics of it. Red is trying to make it as smooth and quick as possible because they're typically cash rich time poor.
Yeah.
And then the greens is about having that emotional connection to it. So we try and bring through the Howard family values. We try and bring some testimonials and what other people have done with it. But yeah, I think it's a much nicer, more human way of looking at segmentation because, you know, we're all the same in a way, but we don't necessarily need a lot of different things.
And it works, you know, when you split it down, it works. And I think some people get a little bit, oh, what if I don't know what colour energy they are? Just ask them questions, talk to them. You can pick up body language, you can pick up the way they talk. So it's just that being able to step back and take a breath and go, right, okay. So I might need to, we class it as dialing up and dialing down energy. So I, you know, you might need to dial up a certain colour energy. So, you know, my colour preference, my first colour preference is earth green, which is an introverted colour, which always seems a bit odd when I have to stand up and talk in front of people. So things like this are just, you have to kind of, But my secondary colour is sunshine yellow. So I really want to do that. But my earth green's like, I really want to help. So that's kind of the way that kind of comes in. So when we're kind of looking at all of those as like a whole, I think it's just really interesting. But I have to dial up certain things. So if I'm standing in front of a training session, I couldn't come in being all introverted and not really wanting to say anything. So I have to dial up and use more of my sunshine yellow energy so I can kind of, you know, hopefully inspire people and get them interested. And then that kind of gets people on board. So you have to be very aware. It's like with my clients, I can read on an email what colour preference people are. It gives you clues. So from the very first interaction, and then I will match that. So if you've got sunshine yellow that's giving you lots and lots of emojis, you know, just then I can match that. Whereas if it's kind of very, very bright and brief and to the point, I know it's going to be fiery red and they don't need me to flower it up. And with earth green, you know, it's that, hi, how are you? Have you had a good weekend? Hope you're doing okay. So just in right from the very beginning, then we can kind of get those clues from.
It's interesting because our business has this, it's a really interesting way of doing emails. So it's usually Angie, comma, and then straight into it. And that is across the board with everybody. And that has that whole fiery red energy throughout, even if we're dealing with customers. And so I manage the customer service side of things for e-commerce. And we're trying to soften it up with the usual, almost generic, you know, hope you feel, you know, hope you're doing well and that kind of thing. But that does have an effect, doesn't it? That kind of that email energy.
Yeah, certainly. And like if you've got, you know, we've seen it happen within workplaces where fiery reds have literally just gone, you know, phone me now. And then if you've sent it to somebody who's on the opposite, earth green, they've opened it and gone,
stressing out, yeah.
Give a second, have I done something really bad? So, yeah, we just have to be really aware of the impact that we have with our, you know, I'm not saying don't, you know, change who you are. I think sometimes we just have to soften the edges when we know that somebody's a slightly different preference to how we are. And that's how we kind of form more effective relationships.
I mean, that's the beauty of insights is you're not just, you know, square peg in a square hole. Because you have all these other colours, you can kind of change your behaviour or reflect on what you're doing to kind of change it and deal with people slightly different. You're not just fiery red and stuck in that kind of area.
You've got all four of them. So like I said, my cool blue is like on my last, but you can't use it as an excuse. I can't say, oh, I don't do detail. I wish I could. I've been trying for years, but it doesn't work. But there are things that I just, you know, there's more important things to me. So I just have to be more mindful. And sometimes I have to sit in that space where I go, right, leave me alone, because I have to send invoices out, or I have to manage my diary. I have to do those things. It takes a lot of energy when they're lower down your scale.
Yeah.
But it's just being aware that you just need to set that time apart. So it doesn't mean you can't do it. So, you know, if you get a lot of fiery red managers, which we tend to get within the merchant team because it's about sales. So we have to go, it's not, the way you get your sales is by treating your people really well.
Yeah.
Not by pushing this. You know, there's layers of it. But if you treat your team really well, so we have to kind of, that you might find that your earth green is your lowest. You might go home feeling really shattered of a night time because you've spent a lot of time in this earth green energy, but it's worth it in the end.
Go for a question at you. Who, if you were to pick one celebrity, would be the atypical each one colour, what would you pick?
So fiery reds, I'm going to go for Trump. But there's also some things about neurodiversity in there that come in. I think if we're going to go for, on the surface of perception, I think earth green, I'd probably go for Kate Middleton.
Okay.
Sunshine yellow or Alan Carr.
That's a really good one.
If we go with something like that. And blue, I'd probably go with the Queen.
Okay.
So she was very detailed in what she did when she had to bring all the other colour energies, but that was her kind of the preference.
It's interesting.
That she kind of came with. So, but that's my perception of it.
I'm glad you mentioned neurodiversity, because it's a really interesting topic when you look at kind of insights. Would you like to go into a bit of detail with that?
Yeah, so I mean, this isn't, we're still researching some of this, so this isn't kind of the be all or end all, or it doesn't matter that if you, because you might be one of these colour energies, that you will have some of these diversities. So we're starting to learn that some of the neurodivergencies that we get fit within the colour insights preferences. So like I just said, so Trump, what we tend to find within fiery red is narcissism, personality disorders. We also find in males ADHD, because it reflects itself slightly differently between males and females. Females mask slightly differently.
I suppose it's the hyper-focus part of ADHD.
Yeah, so you tend to find males externally at hyperactivity, so they can't sit still and, you know, always on the go, whereas with females, socially, we've learned to adapt to that and it goes internally. So in sunshine yellow, you tend to get ADD within females. And then we get all the disses, so dyslexia, dyspraxia, kind of all of those kind of things, dyscalculia, they all sit within.
Would you be able to explain those for it?
So dyslexia, it's normally not, people just kind of think it's, we put the words around the wrong way, but it's just reading any kind of letters together. We find it really hard. The brain puts them into slightly different patterns. So even the background that we're reading on. So if it's a very white background, that's the brain can't take it on. So if we soften that, put it on a lilac or a pale green, then we can read it. So something that I've been kind of thinking about, even with like my PowerPoint presentations, because they're normally all white.
That's really interesting.
Or handing out a profile from Insights to make sure that we know if somebody needs something slightly differently. And dyscalculia is like kind of when you struggle with the numbers going the right way around, and I have a little bit of that myself, so that's probably why I don't kind of like to use some of that cool blue energy, because it takes time. And then kind of dyspraxia is kind of, you can look at it in different ways, the way that we take on information. It can also come across the way that we coordinate things, so people might class people as being very clumsy, uncoordinated. I'm just talking about myself here. People might walk into people when they're walking at the side of them. And it's interesting, because it's not until I started doing some of the research that I kind of go, oh gosh, yeah, that's me. So, yeah, back in the 80s, couldn't do a grapevine to save my life. Everybody was going that way, I was going that way. So we tend to find that they all tend to sit in that sunshine yellow energy. With cool blue, you get things like OCD. So that kind of, that real compulsion to do things, and then you do it over and over and over again. It's normally where ASD sits, so kind of your autism spectrum disorders.
Okay.
So we put those together now. A lot of people say on the spectrum, or Asperger's, kind of a different, the way that we'd say it now.
A bit old fashioned.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. So, and even the way that we're talking about neurotypical now, that's going to be changed, because nobody's typically anything. So, so we tend to find that sits in with the cool blue. And then earth green, we have PTSD tends to sit in here, kind of forms of body dysmorphia. Victim mentality, if you've had to deal with somebody who's been in a kind of been the narcissist,
yeah,
either in the family or at school, or somebody that you've worked with, that tends to kind of have the way that our brain works, it changes the brain chemistry. So we look at it slightly differently. Interesting. Mm. So just being aware of that. I mean, within sites, the way that we used to do it years ago, we'd have a massive big mat in the middle of the floor. Everybody would sit around it. And you think, yeah, this is great fun. But actually, if you think about some of those people, that it could be absolutely terrifying for them, not having a desk in front of them, feeling very open and vulnerable. So we've started to kind of change the way that we do things now. And I think it's really important that we recognise it. And a lot of people say, oh, everybody's got it now. But I think it's just that recognition.
Your awareness.
Yeah, we're very much more aware of it.
So what do you do now to make it more inclusive and, you know, a little bit easier?
So I think it's that having open conversations. I kind of step into my space now and just say, so just so you're aware, I'm a little bit neurospicy. Haven't had a proper diagnosis, but have had a diagnosis from somebody who knows about this and just went, you do know that you're ADD, don't you? And I was like, I do now. And it's just a little bit like the insights. The different traits, so you can say, yeah, I'm like this. I really like detail, drop a little bit in cool blue. I really like people, drop a little bit. And so it's the same with kind of the neurodivergencies. There's a point where it becomes diagnosable when you've kind of got lots and lots of little drips in that kind of comes above a point. But we all have a little bit of everything. So I think it's being aware of that. So I open up to that quite early. I work with quite a lot of younger adults. And I think it's just, it makes the room a little bit easier when they go, oh, that's okay. So yeah. I can be my strange self. And I think it's really about finding the superpowers that come with that, rather than the people going, oh, they're, you know, they don't do social skills. There'll be something they do brilliantly. So I think it's really looking for the positives, having open dialogue, being able to say to people, what support do you need? So, you know, if you need a different colour papers, or actually you don't want to take part in that exercise because it really makes you feel uncomfortable. I have lots of fidget toys on the table when I deal with a lot of people, sometimes when we do insights. And just being aware that if people are doodling, it doesn't mean they're not listening, because people could be over or understimulated. Yeah. So it's just having an awareness, I think. That's what we just need to make sure that we know and understand what's going on.
Do you think younger people are more open and aware of this stuff than, you know, maybe someone my age or older?
I think they've definitely grown up with it more, so there's more of an awareness around it. I think some of them get slightly nervous about saying that they might be like this when they go into a work situation. So if you've got people coming out of education, it's because I know that a lot of people have hard times being managed by people who don't understand it.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a lot that we can do with that. But I think if we can really start opening up and having those conversations about what adjustments can we make, and just say, oh, you know, but you are amazing at doing that and I really can't do that. So if you enjoy doing that, let's give you more of that to do. But I think, yeah, it's definitely easier, I think, because within schools, they do a lot of EDI. They try and make these kind of adjustments for people while they're in education. We just need to make sure that within the workplace, we kind of carry that through as well.
I think that's, we definitely try and do more training and that kind of stuff at Howarth. But I think it's one of those where it should be kind of a lot more pushed to businesses.
I think people just, I think sometimes there's a fear around, I don't understand it fully and I'm a little bit worried about doing something that might cause offence or saying something that might cause offence. And I think if we go into it with a generosity, and if we have those conversations with the people in front of us to say, you know what, I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to work out here what we do. So can we work together? Yeah. And you need to tell me if I say something that you think that, you know, oh, that doesn't sit well, or actually you shouldn't say that. I'm just thinking of conversations that I'm having with my dad. And we have to say, you don't say that anymore, Dad. But I think if we go into it with that generosity of spirit to say, I'm not trying to be awkward or offensive, I'm trying to learn myself here, then I think that's the best thing.
Now, we always end our podcast on some quick fire questions.
Oh, gosh, my reflective brain.
What does a good day look like for you?
A good day for me is, I'm not into routine, so I like something different. So long as I have had some interaction with a person on that day, that's a good day for me. A brilliant day would be if I walk out of a room going, they've really turned a corner with that. I've really kind of found a gold nugget that's made them go, that's going to make my life easier. That's going to make me work more productively or feel happier. Then that's a good day for me.
Lovely. What would you say is the hardest challenge you face in your role?
Apart from all the paperwork, I think my hardest challenge is having a balance. I talk that talk in a lot of kind of my training, making sure that we have a work-life balance. Because of my earth green energy, I want to help. So I can kind of go, oh, actually, my diary next week doesn't look too bad. And I'm kind of down in one area. And then somebody will phone up and go, oh, could you really do that? And I go, yeah, of course I can. So I end up zigzagging from one end of the country to the other. So I think that's my biggest challenge is I don't like to let people down. And having that work-life balance where I'm not doing lots and lots and paperwork. Yeah.
And if you could give one piece of advice, what would it be?
I always use the phrase I before E, whatever it is. And I think whether it's managers with teams, whether it's you know, staff with customers, is involvement before engagement. If you can't involve people with a conversation, with information, with understanding, they're not going to be engaged in your product, your business, whatever you're trying to do. So I before E.
Beautiful. I like that. Angie, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been all right. I feel as if I've been bright red all the way through it, but it's been great to be here. Thank you.
And for the listeners out there, if you are interested in anything we've talked about today, please get in touch. We'll share Angie's details. So if you want to have any sort of training or conversations, that'd be great. For yourselves, please like and follow us, and hopefully we'll see you on the next episode. 1, 2, 3.